In the world of business, profit is everything.
Those that are not profitable are condemned from memory.
And the most important business of all is watching anime.
Howdy, folks. Welcome back to the weekly anime performance review, where we review the performance of anime weekly. We're your three high-powered anime business executives. I'm John, the CEO of Love and Peace.
I'm Chris, and I'm so full of mercy.
And I'm Andrew, the CEO of Is It Really a Trigun If You Only Have Two Guns?
Yeah, in case you couldn't tell from our titles, we are doing another special OVA episode, this time on the classic 1998 anime Trigun. This was a big deal to anime fans that are a bit older than us, you know, that were kids back in the mid-2000s, because it came on, I think, either Adult Swim or Toonami back in 2003. I can't remember which one.
I just know I was too young to watch it.
Yeah, I never saw it until I was in high school, but I would call it probably my first favorite anime, if that makes sense.
I mean, then it had to have been the first anime you've seen.
No.
Well, then that anime you had to have been your favorite.
It was just the first one where I was like certain, yeah, this is my favorite. I really like the show. And I've probably seen this show, the number of times I've seen it is definitely has two digits. I don't know how many it is anymore.
The number of times I've seen it definitely has two.
The number is two.
Yeah, the number is two.
Chris has seen this so many times, he's seen it double the number of times I have. Mm-hmm.
Because Andrew had never seen it before.
Yeah, Andrew doesn't watch anime.
Yeah. I don't know why they keep inviting me back to do this show.
Andrew doesn't watch anime, he just condenses it into a liquid and injects it into his veins.
Yep. I can't read, so like, why would I watch it?
So, a general outline of this show. It's a story set on a desert planet out in deep space, where kind of what's left of a colony of human beings clings to survival. And on that planet, there's an outlaw named Vash the Stampede, who's infamous for the incredible amount of destruction that he tends to leave in his wake wherever he goes. And he's, in fact, wanted with a $60 billion double dollar price on his head. So whoever finds him is basically set for life. So he's constantly on the run from people that want to collect his bounty. There's your general premise out of the way. God, how do we do these OVAs? I don't remember.
We do them different every time.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I did write my usual episode summaries.
Go ahead. We should start with the spoiler-free what we thought of it. So if people want to go watch it or something, they can.
All right, fair. Like I said, this show was the first anime that I ever truly adored, and it is still in my top three now. I adore this show. It's very special to me.
The animation's pretty good. The music slaps.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once it gets going, I really like the plot. Cons, it takes a bit for the plot to actually start. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the first 8 or 9 episodes are just kind of hard to binge through. Just because of that. So, like, I recommend if you watch this, maybe don't go into it expecting to binge it all. And maybe take it in a little bit at a time.
That being said, I watched 4 episodes on a couple of days. And then I watched 22 episodes last night.
How did that turn out for you?
Actually, I didn't mind it. Like, the act of wanting to watch it was worse than watching it, if that makes sense. Like,
see, it wasn't so bad. You thought you were going to hate it.
I think Andrew just says that.
I just thought I was going to hate it because I didn't want to watch anything, regardless of what it was. But I thought it was actually really good. I think that you can tell it's a 90s anime.
Yeah, almost like it really is in desperate need of a remaster Funimation. Still in 480p up in here. in 2020.
But I will say, I think it does a nice job of wrapping everything up, and it does a really good job of Vash being a interesting character who you want to root for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He is one of the most likable anime protagonists of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his name is derived from the French word for cow, Vash.
Which is weird, because the knives isn't, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, shouldn't Knives' name be like Cheval or something?
Right?
I don't speak French.
Cheval means
horse. It's horse. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, how did she name one of them Knives and not expect him to turn out evil?
Right? And why are both the females Meryl and Millie?
I don't know. That confused the crap out of me when I was a kid, too, but yeah. It's fine now.
Yeah.
I've watched the show double-digit times, remember? But it took me until this viewing to finally get the names of all the gung-ho guns down.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I got them all, though. Especially because there's even more gung-ho guns in the manga, which I read for this review as well.
Oh.
Just so I can comment on the differences between the two.
Which are a lot.
Yeah, they're pretty substantially different because the anime ran from like April to September of 1998, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas the manga ran from 1995 to 2009. And so, you know, obviously they left a lot out and they outpaced the manga by a lot. And so the author of the manga had like a rough outline for how the series would end. And so they used that as the template for the anime. So it has, very broadly speaking, the same story, but in the specifics, it's quite different. In really interesting ways.
Well, another thing about this is that it is a Western.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a Western anime, but like it is a Western, like cowboys type of Western. And
it's a space Western, but it isn't. Yes. It is definitely Western.
Like, I didn't even realize they were in space until they mentioned it. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, they make it more clear in the manga that it's on another planet. I love that the tagline of the show is Deep Space Future Gun Action.
Yeah.
The description for every episode is like the tale of the greatest gunsinger in the galaxy.
Though I think most other planets don't really have gunslingers anymore. We can get into that later, though.
Yeah, we'll get into that when we get to it. All right. Overall, I thought it was a good anime, and if you think you're going to like it, you might as well just watch it.
So we'll start breaking down the whole show as it goes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the first four episodes as one arc because they are all kind of one shots that get you introduced to the three main leads.
Well, I feel like we could do the first five.
I want to do five separately because it's where the manga starts. Okay. Yeah. Well, we can throw five in there. So the first five episodes are mainly about getting us introduced to to Vash the Stampede and the insurance girls from the Bernardelli Insurance Society, Meryl Streif and Millie Thompson. And so these episodes follow a pretty predictable formula. Vash shows up in a new town and the insurance girls follow him. And he gets caught up in whatever zany schemes are going on in that town, whatever colorful outlaws behind them. It's like in the first episode, there's the big guy with the boomerang. The second episode has Cliff Chazar, the greedy water merchant. Third has the plot about Frank Marlin and the other guy who claims to be Vash. The fourth episode has him and the insurance girls get caught up in a hostage situation. And the fifth episode, which is where the manga starts, involves him tangling with the infamous Nebraska family. So these episodes, this is definitely the hardest part of the show to kind of get through, I feel like. Because, like, I really like the first episode, actually. Like, I think the first episode is funny and a good introduction to the three. But I feel like they could just skip straight to episode five and you wouldn't lose that much.
Yeah.
From there. And also, the whole thing about the insurance girls not thinking he's actually Vash, and that, like, you know, the whole doubt about Vash's identity is just straight up not a thing in the manga. Like, because, like, they show up in episode five and they're like, oh, that's Vash. That's it.
Yeah.
So I don't really get what the point of that was. And it's not really much of a thing outside the first episode where it is pretty funny, I think.
Yeah, well, I think I did like the all like everyone has different rumors about him, so they think it's this guy, but this guy thinks it's this guy, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought that was good. But ultimately, like, these episodes got us introduced to the characters, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still go to bat for episode one, though. I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah. I think episode one works. Mm-hmm. I just don't think the others work quite as well.
Go ahead.
I think they have aspects that work. They just don't work as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if they were tied together a little bit more, mm-hmm. then I can easily be like, oh, yeah, totally. But they're not.
Like, I liked when Vash was dancing into the hostage situation.
Oh, yeah.
And you gotta remember, the episode 4 is based on a one-shot that predates the regular manga, and so that was the first introduction of Vash to the world, was him dancing straight into a hostage situation.
I mean, I thought that was great.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And probably the most important thing that these four episodes tell us about the character is that nobody has died as a direct result of his action, and he states himself to be a pacifist who will not take a life.
Mm-hmm. At least... we don't know if that's 100% true, but we are told to believe that.
So, yes. So we're introduced to Vash. He's a pacifist, but he's still very good with his gun, as we see in episode 5 when he manages to divert Nebraska Junior's fist, which was that when I saw that when I was in high school, I was like, okay, this is dope. I got to watch this. That was what really got me on board, was that moment in episode 5. And then we have like one more one-shot episode, and then we get more into the meat and potatoes. So the episode 6 is when he meets the plant engineer. And probably the most important contribution that episode has to the main plot is the introduction of the destruction of July City, which is why everyone is after Vash. Mm-hmm.
Don't they allude to it some?
Yeah, they say, oh, he reduced July City to ash. But
yeah.
In this episode, we actually see it depicted somewhat.
Yeah.
The anime version, they say that no one actually died from the blast itself, and they just died because the city had been destroyed and it had, you know, all the resources were cut off. In the manga, he very explicitly did kill like 100,000 people by accident.
Yeah, no, like...
yeah.
It wasn't like with August. I think, was it August?
Augusta,
where he literally made the sound of evacuate by saying, hey, I'm Vash's Stampede and I'm going to blow this place up, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, people would have died in that.
It's time for my daily massacre.
I thought, yeah.
I like all of his best lines are when he's pretending to be what people think Vash the Stampede is.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know why people don't change their mind about him.
The only people that don't know him are scared of him.
But why aren't there more rumors going around than like, oh, Vash isn't really a bad guy?
Probably because a lot of the people he's interacted with are dead now. Because he's old.
Well, yes, that's fair. Like, that is also an occurring theme, is that people he come in contact with do get killed often. Mm-hmm. Like, not even the bad guys, just, you know, accidents happen and there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
Right, and his constant frustration is that he cannot save everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it tears him up inside. And speaking of saving people, after that episode is the Bad Lad Gang arc, or the Sand Steamer arc. So it's two episodes where Brilliant Dynamite's Neon boards the Sand Steamer, and they have to stop him, and there's a kid named Kite that helps him out. And these episodes, probably the biggest contribution to the overall narrative is the introduction of Rem.
Who's Rem?
Rem is Vash's mother figure from when he and Knives were children, and she is the one who kind of imparted him her belief that everyone's ticket to the future is blank, and therefore you shouldn't take a life. Because people have the capacity to change.
Yeah, well, like, you shouldn't kill someone because that doesn't make you better than them, and it's not your choice to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are her three things. Your future is blank, you have the right to choose that, and so you cannot ethically say that you can take another life. And that's
right.
His belief throughout most of the series. The whole series, really.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about how her name is Rim Safe Rim?
Right.
They made up that last name for the anime. It's not a thing.
That's a terrible last name.
Not to imply that the anime is less than the manga, because I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think each of them is good in its own way. After that arc, is when we're introduced to our last main character. He kind of basically gets a 2-episode introductory arc where we kind of meet him and they get us on board with him. And that, of course, is the itinerant preacher Nicholas D. Wolfwood, who, despite being a preacher, is more morally pragmatic than Vash is. He will take a life if he feels like he needs to. And so a lot of the show becomes a conversation between the two of them, where kind of Wolfwood is constantly pushing Vash to defend his ideals, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it should be mentioned he's a preacher in quotes. Like,
yeah. He's, spoilers, but yes, he is not actually a minister.
Well, his giant cross that he carries around is really a weapon rack.
Yeah, it's a big freaking gun. And in the manga, it's actually called the Punisher.
Yeah, and everyone's like, why is it so heavy? And he's like, because it's full of mercy.
Because it's so full of mercy. It's actually full of bullets and rockets.
Yep.
And guns.
He's got the pistols that he uses.
That's something the show did good, is they made all the weapons interesting, I feel.
Yeah.
One of Yasuhiro Naito, the guy who drew the manga, just really likes to draw weird and cool guns.
Yeah, well, because the two insurance girls who are chasing Vash around because...
It's their job,
yeah. To make sure he doesn't cause damages. One of them has a giant Gatling gun that shoots...
Restraints,
yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one has, like, a bunch of holdout pistols.
Yeah,
but, like,
Millie has, like, 50 Derringer pistols in her cloak.
Yeah.
Which is... just the coolest thing, because like there's the one episode where she like whips them all out and just like she shoots them, then throws them away, grabs more.
Yeah,
I think my biggest complaint with this whole series is that they don't actually do that much action.
I know,
the fact that they're really cool.
Yeah,
like whenever they do, it's badass. But I also kind of understand that this is mainly Vash's story and they're kind of ancillary to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because they are supporting characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though I think he's in less episodes, I feel like Wolfwood is possibly more important.
Wolfwood is definitely, like, the real secondary protagonist.
Yeah.
They're kind of there more as viewpoint characters.
Yeah, well, they're there for, I feel like, Vash to have friends.
Mm-hmm. And the manga, it's even more like that, because most of the manga is just Vash and Wolfwood riding around on a motorcycle, and the insurance girls don't show up for volumes at a time.
Yeah. Well, because they do have their own adventures and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, they get their whole episode that's mainly just them, and like Vash even complains in the episode that he's not in it.
Yeah. That's all the screen time I get?
So yeah, there's 3 episodes where we're introduced to Wolfwood and how he's way more of a pragmatist than Vash is, and that's going to come up later. And then episode 12 is when things really hit the fan, as it were. Because that's when Legato Blue Summers first shows up. So he's a follower of Vash's brother Knives, who wants to murder everyone. Legato Blue Summers tells Vash that 12 assassins are going to come for you called the Gung-Ho Guns. And in that same episode, the first of the Gung-Ho Guns, whose name is Monev the Gale, appears.
Well, I don't know if we're mentioned the Gung-Ho Guns until they're there again. Like, I think he's just like, oh, you're gonna die.
No, he mentions that the Gung-Ho Guns are coming.
Okay.
And in the manga, he actually gives Vash a coin case that has, like, half of 12 coins in it. And he has to get the coin from each of the other Gung-Ho Guns. Like, each one has the other half of one of the coins.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, so this is where we get Legato, who I think is arguably more of the main villain of the anime than Knives.
I would agree.
He's way more active. Knives just kind of sits on his butt until the last episode.
Well, because Knives was caught up in the July incident.
Yes, exactly.
So he was, like, recovering. They don't say exactly what's going on, but like
he's like in like a plant facility where they repair the plants. We actually get to see him finish his recovery in the manga, and he comes out buck naked and participates in the stuff at Augusta. Yeah, Knives is way more active in the manga to the and Legato's like barely in it actually. So their roles are kind of flip-flopped either way, because I'd say in the anime, Legato is the main villain who's like challenging Vash's ideology, and he's like the most active threat, whereas in the manga it's much more about Vash and Knives.
Yeah, well, like when we'll talk about it when we get to it, but Legato is the one who breaks Vash.
Yeah.
But I don't want to talk too much about it, but mm-hmm. I would agree.
Legato is one of my favorite anime villains of all time.
It should be mentioned, he has mind control.
Yeah, he can do that.
Don't exactly know why, but he can.
Because he has Vash's left arm grafted onto himself.
Oh, you're right.
But like, why does that give him mind control?
I don't know, man. In the manga, he actually has these really... He has, like, microscopic wires that he uses to puppet master people. So it's not actually because of telekinetic powers or arms. Yeah.
I also want to say, I think... When do we get the backstory?
That's episode 17.
Okay, so we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm. So episode 13 is another... Yeah, go ahead.
We do get the feeling that Vash is... something else.
Yeah. We start to realize that his capabilities are beyond human.
Yeah. Do we see his handgun?
Yeah, this is the episode where the cannon in his artificial arm makes its debut.
Yeah.
It's how he beats Menev the Gale.
Well, it technically makes its debut in the first episode with Wolfer.
Oh yeah, you're right. Well, we just don't see it in that
episode. Yeah.
It just implied to exist.
Yeah.
Episode 13 is a recap episode. Episode 14 is kind of that one shot we mentioned earlier that's more about Meryl and Millie.
Which I thought was a good episode. I enjoyed that.
It was. Yeah, I like that episode. I didn't like it when I was younger, but I appreciate it more now.
And I love the resurgence of the Nebraskas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they're like, maybe if you were really that concerned about their safety, you wouldn't be throwing your children.
It's really funny that, like, I figured that Meryl and Millie episode of all the episodes would be the one that was not from the manga, but it totally is. Next up in episode 15 is when Vash faces off against Dominique the Cyclops, who is the second of the Gung-Ho Guns. She has like hypnotic powers that basically let her avoid being detected by people. And I'd say this is more of a proper introduction to the Gung-Ho Guns, because we see a bunch of them in this episode.
We see all of them, I think.
Is this the episode where they do the roll call of all of them?
I think so.
Except for Menev, because he's dead already.
Yeah.
Vash didn't kill him. He gets basically crucified by his own guys because he failed.
Yeah, well, that's the running theme, is that he beats them and he lets them live. But
they always wind up getting killed by someone else to make him miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, not only that, but because they failed at their job.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, hey, Vash, look, you didn't save him after all. Why didn't you just shoot him then, you know?
I think that the fight against Dominique is one of the best fights in this show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because we're also led to believe that Vash is not that bright.
Mm-hmm.
But he very quickly figures out that Dominique is not disappearing and teleporting. She's making him lose track of time.
Yeah.
Because the clouds change by whenever she moves.
Right.
I think...
go ahead.
I think something that is... Like, it's something you don't really realize until you're rewatching it, but that Vash pretty much knows exactly what he's doing in the first few episodes. Mm-hmm. And, like, it might look like he's just bumbling around, but he's actually has, like, big brain plans going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very much kind of obfuscating his real personality.
Yeah.
Like, he plays up being a goober and being horny all the time, but he's not really like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
He just really cares about people and he's really sad all the time.
Yeah, well, I think it's a mixture of things, because if people underestimate you, you can get away with a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, like, he's only get shot a handful of times in this for how many gunfights he's in.
Yeah.
And so he's obviously very good at not getting hit.
Another manga detail, his coat is bulletproof in the manga.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Also, he has, like, the most badass character design of, like, any anime character.
He does have a really cool design.
Yeah. Like, the big flowing red coat and the long hair and the glasses and the big freaking revolver. It's a cool character design.
Yeah.
It gets even cooler later, which I'll explain.
Yeah, well, even the handgun, that, because he has a robotic arm, so his hand swivels like downwards and reveals that barrel that he still uses that same hand to pull the trigger of.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I love all the character designs in the show, really. So the next couple episodes we're going to talk about together. So in 16, he fights two more of the gung-ho guns, E.G. Mine, who I despise because his name doesn't fit the scheme of the rest of them, and Raide the Blade, who's the samurai guy. And this is when you were talking about Augusta earlier.
Yeah.
And Legato forces his powers to activate and punches a hole in the moon.
Yeah, so it turns out the pistol lets his arm transform into a cannon. Not his robot arm, his actual arm.
Mm-hmm.
Transform into a giant, like, cannon that shoots a crater in the moon. Like,
yes.
Wipes out
and it destroys Augusta as well.
Yeah. But he did evacuate it first, so that's nice.
So, and then after this, we finally get some insight into Vash and Knives' past. So they had been children that were raised on the ship by Rim. On the ship that was coming to this planet from Earth. It's a colony ship, basically.
Well, wasn't it like a fleet, and it was just like the flagship?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Knives becomes convinced, based on the human's behavior, that he and Vash are superior to humanity, and he causes the destruction of the fleet. He causes them to crash on the planet. And Rim is able to save some of them, but at the cost of her own life. And so this is kind of central to the conflict between the two of them. That Vash believes in what Rim said, and Knives disregards it. That's the root of their conflict.
Well, I think it was, yeah, and like a metaphor that they use, that Knives uses a lot, is killing spiders to save butterflies, because you can't just save all the butterflies, because then the spiders will starve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, like, does makes sense, because Vash is like, mm-hmm. No, I want to save both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, because then you're making the spider starve and they're going to die and suffer.
Right. Mm-hmm. So throughout the show, we've seen these big power plants that keep the human cities active. They look like giant light bulbs that sit out in the world. And like this little globe at the middle. And inside those globes live these strange creatures that provide energy for everybody. That's what Vash and Knives are. They are independent power plants that don't need all that equipment to maintain themselves. Which they don't really explicitly state till the very end of the show. But a big part of it is that Knives thinks that the plants are superior to people, and so he wants to kill all the people and basically save all the plants.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because in the manga, he becomes a hypocrite because he winds up absorbing the other plants to like make himself stronger. So he's not really helping them. He's just like being selfish and genocidal.
Yeah, well, we see that Knives has no compassion for people.
No, he really doesn't.
Like, and then Vash is the complete opposite, where he doesn't want to hurt anyone, even the people who are shooting at him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting.
Yeah, like the fundamental difference between them is that Vash thinks that all people have the capacity to change, whereas Knives thinks that human nature is unwavering and worthy of nothing, of death.
Yeah.
Also, Steve isn't a thing in the manga. Yeah, Steve is the asshole crew member that basically convinces Knives that humans are worthless. In the manga, Vash and Knives find a computer that tells the story of a previous plant child that the crew of the ship, including Rem, dissected and like did experiments on. And part of the reason that Rem raises the two of them is that she feels guilty over having participated in that. So I think that his manga story is more interesting, although I do like the meme of Steve being behind everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Steve being the cause, not really behind.
Yes.
I agree, but I think it is easier also for the anime to just be like, hey, this guy is kind of a jerk, doesn't like y'all.
Also, the anime would have had to dive pretty deep into body horror to accurately portray that scene from the manga.
Right. Yeah. It was just much easier to show us that, hey, these guys are not the best people.
So after destroying Augusta, Vash actually goes into the exile, goes into exile for 2 years with a family in a different town. But Wolfwood finds him and convinces him to return to the game because Knives has started being more active in the world. And so he's like, we actually have to go stop it.
Yeah, and yeah. I think this is the first hint that we get that Wolfwood actually kind of knows a bit about what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has some kind of connection to the bad guys.
Well, I think that's also when, at the end of Augusta, when Wolfwood kills the samurai guy.
Yeah, he kills Raide the Blade, and Raide clearly knows who he is at that point. So there's more to him than meets the eye. And then there's kind of an arc after this where we kind of whittle down the gung-ho guns. Mm-hmm. Vash goes to one ship that managed to avoid crashing and kind of floats above the planet in secret. And there are three different gung-ho guns aboard. There's Leonoff the Puppet Master, Gray the Nine Lives, and Hoppard the Gauntlet.
There's technically only two.
What? Oh yeah, because technically Leonoff is not on board. You're right.
Yeah, he stays on the ground and uses his puppets. Like, I wish they explained a bit more. Is it magic? Is it a weird energy? Like
really tiny wires.
Possibly, yeah. Like,
well, that is what it is in the manga, at least.
But they don't explain it in the anime.
No.
So it's literally tiny wires that just are like miles long.
Yeah, and he has these like little. He has like little orbs that kind of act as sort of like, I don't know how to describe it.
Hands.
Yeah, kind of. Also, Brad lives in the manga, and the ship never crashes. Brad actually becomes like a pretty important supporting character later on in the manga.
I think it was fine doing how it did, though, because
I like what they did with Brad in the anime.
Like, this is really when Vash starts, like, he can't save everyone. These people had no chance. They were a bunch of them were just massacred.
Yes. Yeah. They get massacred because, you know, they're peaceful, even more so than he is. And so they really have no recourse when the gung-ho guns show up on their place.
Right, and they were only there because Vash went there and brought them to him, you know?
Yeah. But he had to get a new coat, man.
Yeah. I mean, and he gets a Uzi hand instead of a pistol hand.
Yeah. which goes criminally underused because it's fun.
Yeah.
So after this is kind of Wolfwood's big arc. Because in episode 22, they are faced with the gung-ho gun Zazie the Beast, who can control the sandworms. Which, yeah, by the way, there are sandworms.
Is this a Dune reference?
Hello, Frank Herbert. You're welcome.
Well, I wish the sandworms were mentioned beforehand, because it's just like, oh, those are a thing.
Come on, you can't have a desert. I don't think you could get away with having a desert planet that doesn't have sandworms.
I also don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah.
It's not. They could have been in the background at some point, or, you know.
It's a desert planet. It's got sandworms. If it's a desert planet written after 65, it's got sandworms. Okay.
What about Tatooine?
I think Tatooine does have sand. Well, what is the Sarlacc if not a sandworm?
What about Jakku?
There's probably sandworms on Jakku.
I'm going to make a sci-fi saga that only takes place on desert planets, and there are going to be no sandworms.
Yeah, nobody will read it.
It's going to be called Sand.
I'd read it. I would. So, the big moment here is that Zazie turns out to be like a little kid. And Vash almost manages to talk him down before Wolfwood just straight up murks him in the head. And it's to the shock of everyone around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of ambiguous whether Vash really would have been able to talk down Zazie or not.
But that's kind of like a theme in this, is that, like, we don't know.
And it's like a running visual motif of someone pointing a gun at someone and the other person trying to talk them down. Because, like, Rem does that, but then on the ship to that one guy.
To Rowan.
Yeah, Rowan. And then he gets blown out the airlock before she can save him, because the other guy is, the captain of the ship is like, hey, he was going to kill you.
Yeah, and then, spoiler, in the next last episode, Meryl does the same thing.
Yeah, but it actually works because no one kills the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is very much a thing like, this is when they really start harping on, can you save everyone? Is that even possible?
And then that comes to a head, especially in episode, well, in the next two episodes. So in episode 23 is when the last two gung-ho guns appear, being Kane the Longshot and Chapel the Evergreen, who is Wolfwood's mentor. He taught him to use the Punisher in combat.
Well, he also has a cross gun. I don't know if it's the same name or not, but it's...
it's kind of like the Punisher. It's not exactly the same.
Yeah, and it's assumed that... or I think... I don't know if it's assumed. I know that he's like, oh, Wolfwood, you are a gung-ho gun now.
Yeah. In the manga, Wolfwood was already a gung-ho gun, and he was spying on Vash. And he fills the same role here. He's just not officially one until this point.
Mm-hmm.
And Chapel is actually a totally anime original character. He's kind of a different, like, it does wind up being that Wolfwood fights his assassin teacher in the manga as well, but it's a totally different guy. And he winds up being killed by one of the other students, whose name is Livio, and Livio winds up kind of replacing him as the secondary protagonist for the rest of the manga.
Okay.
But it's a really well done episode, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it should be mentioned, Wolfwood dies.
He does.
Yeah. And I think it's implied that, like, he finally accepted Vash's ideology of no killing.
Mm-hmm. And then, again, to make Vash miserable, Legato takes control of Chapel for a second, just long enough to shoot Wolfwood dead.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the big drawn-out death scene in the church where, you know, the fake preacher actually does pray for once in his life.
Yeah.
Oh, he also sleeps with Millie before he dies.
Yeah.
Just to make it worse.
Yeah.
Well, because they kind of had a thing going.
Yeah, they kind of had teasing. They kind of teased the two of them together throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, there's a point where they had snuck a girl out by Millie pretending to be pregnant and them being a couple and stuff.
Yeah.
And they called each other, like, dear and honey. I think jokingly, but...
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she kind of does it unironically later.
Yeah.
They are cute together.
I think I really like... Millie has some of the best lines because she's...
she's real dumb.
Real, yeah, but she has no social cues at all. So she just tells it straight up to people sometimes.
Oh, yeah, like, there's one episode she has, like, a radio tracker, and she's like, my boss gave it to me because I keep getting lost. And Meryl's like, that's not a compliment.
Yeah. Or I don't know if it was that or if it was like, I need all the help I can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good.
But she is a sweetie. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Oh man, poor Wolfwood, though. Mm-hmm. Got me crying into my donuts. Speaking of crying into the donuts, in episode 24 is when we finally finish off the gung-ho guns. First off, there's Mid-Valley the Horn Freak, who I just really like that name.
Yeah.
Well, he just plays saxophone and things blow up.
And I love how his saxophone is also a gun.
It's also got guns in it.
Is he a bard?
I guess. And then finally, Vash gets to confront Legato, or has to confront Legato. So Legato uses his freaky mind powers to take possession of the whole town and gives Vash about the most sadistic choice he can. It's either choose to put a bullet in Legato's head or the insurance girls are going to die.
Yeah.
And Vash winds up choosing for the only time in the entire anime to shoot him in the head. And he kills Legato. He's the only person that he kills in the whole anime.
Yeah, well, and it should be mentioned that Legato, throughout this whole thing, has been, like, destroying towns and killing a bunch of people with the message, like, come on, Vash, come on, time to fight.
Yeah.
So,
and,
like...
And Legato's, like, completely suicidal, so he's totally fine with it. He really just is fine with being killed just to mess with Vash. Like, he dies with a smile on his face, knowing that he did manage to get Vash to kill a person.
Well, because he also believes in Knives' philosophy that humans are terrible people.
Yes. And in the manga, it's because he had been, like, he'd been a victim of human trafficking as a child. And Knives killed the guy that was in the process of trafficking. And so he similarly became convinced that human life was worthless because of his experience with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think it's rough for him.
Mm-hmm. Like, he is definitely a villain, of course, but he's such a good villain. I like him a lot.
Yeah, well, because it's very much like the, I feel like, Joker from the Batman movies, the newer ones, where, like, he believes that the worst thing, like, his job is to make Vash to question his morals.
Mm-hmm.
Just one bad day.
Just, yeah, exactly. And it's not, he's fine with using whatever means he needs to try and show Vash, hey, you might have to kill sometime.
And even then, Vash doesn't wind up agreeing with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he thinks there has to be some way, there had to have been something, but he couldn't find it.
But man, it makes the next episode real sad.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in episode 25, Vash gets taken to a remote village by Marilyn Millie, where he recovers physically, if not emotionally, from what's happened. Mm-hmm. The townspeople figure out who he is, and so they're basically going to torture him to death until Meryl intervenes and kind of uses Vash's philosophy, or really Rem's philosophy, to talk them down and convince them to let him go, which is what really allows Vash to recover spiritually and restore his drive to deal with knives.
It's like seeing other people use his philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he also realizes that, like, you know, Rem always said, your ticket to the future is blank. Your future isn't decided by your past. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, even if I did make a mistake, I can still come back from it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If you're able to forgive others for killing people, why can't you forgive yourself?
I never really realized how good episode 25 was until this watch. Actually,
yeah, well, and it's kind of been hinted at that the reason why Meryl cares so much is because she actually, like, cares about Vash and has a thing for him.
Yeah,
but she's kind of tsundere towards him the whole show. It's way more explicit in the dub that she's into him.
Yeah, but they have a nice line where I think they're stargazing or something, and she's like, you know, it's pretty peaceful. You could just stay here forever, and he's like, yeah, I might.
But he has to take care of knives.
But yeah,
another cool detail from the dub. I don't really love the dub, but another cool thing about it is that whenever Legato speaks, his voice drifts back and forth from left and right speakers.
Yeah, well, also, Legato spoke in Vash's mind sometimes?
Yeah, he's just psychic in the anime. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in the last episode, Vash goes to confront Knives, and they have a real cool gunfight.
Yeah.
Vash is able to win, even though Knives gets both of their pistols and is about to blast him with both cannons because he manages to dig up the Punisher from underground.
Yeah. Well, and...
because yeah, Knives also has a gun that can turn his arm into a cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they showed a flashback and he spent a year crafting it.
Just sat outside for a year.
Yep. But him and Vash are firing the guns at each other and he's trying to explode and Vash is absorbing it somehow.
Vash is able to cancel it out by using his own powers, essentially.
He's using cancel culture.
Yeah.
Knives is hashtag canceled for being a literal Nazi.
And it showed that they were on par with each other because, like, when they were standing next to each other shooting, they would do the same exact movements mirroring each other.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And everything.
Man, I love that last fight. It's so good.
It was good, yeah. And it ends with him disabling him and bringing him back to town.
Yeah, yeah. He does spare Knives. He does decide to do it. And I used to think it was ambiguous. I think it's kind of implied that Knives is close to his natural death anyway.
Yeah.
So I didn't mention this. I forgot to. But in the manga, whenever they use their plant powers, which they don't need the guns to do in the manga, by the way. His revolver is just a normal revolver. Whenever they use their plant powers, their hair turns a little bit more black. So they both started as blonde, but their hair turns black as they use their powers more and more. And basically that's like a failsafe for if the plants go crazy, that will prevent them from doing too much damage. And so Vash does save Knives in the manga as well, but Knives dies a natural death from overuse of his powers pretty soon after. And by the end of the manga, Vash's hair is also completely black, so it's implied he'll die soon. So it's the manga has a much bleaker ending than the anime, actually.
Yeah.
Well, in some ways it is, in some ways it's not, actually. Man, I kind of want to just talk about the whole manga, but you guys haven't read it.
This is an anime show, not a manga show.
Probably the biggest difference and like the big point of divergence is when Vash and Wolfwood go to the flying ship. They get on the computer and they actually manage to contact humans from other planets.
Yeah, well, because I feel like it's kind of implied in this, at least, that they were it.
Yeah, but no, in the manga, the humans colonized a bunch of planets, and the humans in the final battle come in a big space fleet and participate in the battle against Knives.
Huh.
And there's another living plant like Vash and Knives named Kronika who helps Vash in the final battle. So the manga is kind of bleaker for our characters in that it's kind of implied that Vash is going to die soon, but it's brighter in that like they've made contact with Earth and the other human planets so that they'll be able to, you know, not live on Gunsmoke anymore.
Yeah. That's the name of the planet, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it's Gunsmoke in the anime. I think in the manga it's just called No Man's Land.
Yeah, well, because in the flashback episode, they're like, yeah, this place is a wasteland. We're not landing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Knives is like, fuck you, Steve.
Steve should have had just like one less brewski, and then humanity could have settled on a nice planet.
But overall, honestly, my biggest con is that it's just looks like a 90s anime.
I don't think that's a bad thing, though.
I like the look of 90s anime. Yeah. I really like the way that like the hand painting looks compared to digital color.
Yeah, but there were times when I felt like it looked like you can tell that they cheaped some shots and stuff.
I mean, that's definitely still prevalent today.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'd argue it's worse today.
And also, this show is in really desperate need of an HD release. Like, it's still in 480p to this day. For the sake, first of all, of preservation, and secondly, for, you know, just for it to look better, I feel like it should be released in HD. Hey, Funimation, if you're listening, I'll buy that. I'll buy that Blu-ray. Easy.
You know, one thing we haven't mentioned, the OP and ED are solid.
Oh, yeah. I adore that OP. It doesn't have any lyrics, but it is a real great guitar tune. But yeah, it's that kind of song where you just like do an air guitar the whole time, especially on the. It's got like a lot of really crazy slides and tapping. It's so fun.
T R I G U N. Although it really bothers me because when it does that part, it's spelling it out and it kind of feels like it's supposed to be in time.
Yeah.
But it's off.
Very slightly.
Yeah. Which is honestly a trend in anime OPs, where like something feels like it's supposed to be in time, but it's like a quarter of a beat off.
It might be that they had to edit a cut before it or something and it pushed it off, maybe. You know?
This show has my very favorite commercial end cards.
Yeah.
Because it's like the guitar riff from the OP, and then when it comes back, it's the same guitar riff backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. The music in this show slaps. It's like got one of my favorite soundtracks because, like, you know, it handles the Western mood really well, but also like it can get like downright really sinister and kind of industrial for the villain themes in particular.
Yeah, I know what that means.
There's a lot of bongo.
A lot of bongo on this soundtrack. Yeah. You're right. Like even the OP has bongo on it.
He's got a gun. It's a trigun.
It's a gun. It's a gun. It's a trigun.
I remember Chris used to annoy me so much with that when I first showed him this anime. He would do that during the beginning of every episode. But now I think it's hilarious. It's so dumb that it's funny. God, I just love this anime so much. I don't think I can really talk about this anime very objectively just because of how important it's been to me for so long. It's so good.
But you can't talk about anything objectively.
Yeah.
I mean, no human can, really.
Yeah. That's not me saying. That's like the general you, not the you specifically.
I I can't even attempt to be objective about it, though, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to mention is that we didn't really talk about this much, but the character design is great. Not just the weapon design, but like...
I love Naito's character designs.
Almost every person is unique.
Yeah.
I say almost because sometimes there's, you know, just random civilians.
Brad looks kind of like Steve, but that could also be intentional.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
I mean...
They have the same kind of pompadour cut.
Yeah.
It could be an ancestor, because they also mentioned that...
Or, like, relative, because Rim had a
Rim has a relative, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rim has a relative that gets murked before we get to meet him.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that set off the whole July incident.
Yes.
He gets mucked up.
Overall, it is a good, solid show.
It a good.
Just don't watch it all in one day, please.
Yeah.
One thing that I think might be neat for Trigun is if they were to do another anime that's... They gave it the Brotherhood treatment, where it's way more accurate to the manga the second time around.
For people who don't know, what is the Brotherhood treatment?
So, Fullmetal Alchemist was in a similar situation to Trigun, where the anime outpaced the manga, and so they just went off on their own after a certain point, rather than like do filler to wait for the manga. And so the new scenario they came up with, Mecha, was whack, and it was terrible, and I hated it. And so later they went back and redid Fullmetal Alchemist anime to be more accurate to the manga. And basically in the conversation now, Brotherhood has by far supplanted the original Fullmetal Alchemist.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if they came out with an anime now that was called Trigun Maximum and it was way more accurate to the manga, I don't think that it would have quite the same effect of just totally smothering and destroying the original anime in terms of people's memories of it.
But it's also been longer, hasn't
it? It's been way longer, yes. I think that both the manga and anime stories work well. I like both of them for their own reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the manga is way darker. Like, it's got a lot of body horror. It's way gorier. A lot more people die. Like, the environment of the planet collapses even further during the manga storyline, and people collapse further into lawlessness.
Yeah, well, like, at first I thought, oh, there's just not going to be any death in this anime. Wrong.
No. Oh, no, buddy.
Because, like, the first couple of episodes, no one ever died. Because...
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Like, basically, no one dies until the Gung-Ho Guns show up, I think.
I think
people definitely die on the sand liner.
Oh, yeah. There's the one engineer that gets shot in the head, or whatever.
And there's, I feel like there's a bunch of the people who are at the door when they come in. I feel like they get killed.
All the guards.
But yeah, nobody dies in like any of the anime exclusive stuff that doesn't involve the Gung-Ho Guns. I think that's my takeaway on this one. What a good anime!
But yeah, it's a good anime. I recommend it.
I highly recommend it. I highly recommend that. Please master this show in HD. My God, it really deserves it.
Why don't you do it, John?
Yeah, just get a job at Funimation and do it yourself. Actually, that would probably be a Madhouse thing, not a Funimation thing.
Hey, Madhouse, at me. Go remaster one of your best classics of all time. This show is a big reason that you're my favorite studio.
I guess it should also be mentioned that this is the second Madhouse anime we've done for an OVA in a row.
They did No Game No Life?
Yeah.
Oh, they did. That's right, yeah. And they also did Yorimoi, which is great too.
Yeah. That's a place further than the universe for those of you who don't speak weeb.
Yeah. Andrew, have you seen Yorimoi?
I've seen all but the last episode.
Go watch the last episode.
to be fair, episode 11 is the best episode.
But speaking of other anime, next month, we are doing another OVA, but we have not decided on what it's going to be yet. So is the poll going up along with this episode?
Yeah, the poll will go up along with this over at our Twitter, at Wappercast on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. That'll be on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this, it's already up on our Twitter.
It'll go up on Friday, and then I think...
We can leave it up for a bit, yeah.
Yeah. Like, for maybe till...
Tuesday, Monday.
Maybe
we can leave it for a long time.
Yeah, we could leave it for like a week, maybe.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But your choices are Castle of Cagliostro.
Cagliostro.
I don't know. I can't read. Kill la Kill and ReZero.
Yes.
You know which one I didn't pick. But vote for one of those, and next month, we'll talk about it.
That's all we've got today. Go watch Trigun, you dorks. I've been John, your CEO of Love and Peace.
I've been Chris, and I'm full of so much mercy.
And I've been Andrew, your CEO of Is It Really a Trigun If You Only Have Two Guns?
Ravioli. And donuts, too.